Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour two. Hello. Good morning. How we doing, man?
Doing fantastic.
Poll question is up. Is it beneath Tom Brady's GOAT status to be involved in a wrestling match with Logan Paul? Yes or no? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague.
Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT again for me, man. That guy just does ayahuasca, and he's reuniting with his family. Good for A-Rod. See those Instagram posts? Mom and dad back together. Happy family.
I personally, have the relationships with your family you want to. If they're not treating you right, don't put them in your life. If you want to have a great relationship, have a great relationship. Mend fences. I find it odd when strangers who don't know Aaron Rodgers in any capacity say, oh, this makes me so happy. Why?
That doesn't impact your life. Aaron Rodgers finding pure happiness doesn't impact you in any way, shape, or form.
I saw it and went,
I'm happy for him.
And then I kept going. And then I saw people like, I'm so happy for Rodgers. This makes me so happy.
It's a bit of a Taylor Swift kind of fandom that makes me a little uncomfortable.
Well,
you're not
I used
wrong
to
there.
Be in it. Yeah, so man, it's, it's a Tuesday.
Hello.
Brought to you by Sparta TRT. Get those mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326. The sack is filling up. We got a lot to get to in the second hour. Kirby Smart is on the podium. Not he's got a tan, but he's not Venables, Eli Drinkwitz tan.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to top Venables yet. Will Stein was still pretty pale, but he was always kind of pale. Kirby's got a good tan. I think he enjoys himself in the summer.
I think Brett Venables said, I have a returning quarterback and talent. We made the playoff. Yeah. I'm going to have fun. And I think Will Stein said, I'm at Kentucky. I don't have time to have fun.
I got a lot on my plate right now.
I think the tanning of a coach tells you the level of the program it currently sits.
That is a phenomenal question.
Dan Lanning comes into Big
now,
Ten Media Day.
If he's not tan, now I'm worried.
If he's not tan, you should be worried.
Although, he's been working harder, but yeah, to your point, maybe he doesn't feel as good about his team.
Dan Lanning.
He's been grinding all summer.
He takes the recruiting calls on the boat.
He does.
Okay.
I was a little alarmed when I saw him. I mentioned him. We were down there for the golf tournament. I saw him, and I'm like, dude, you look like you need about 37 hours of sleep right now.
I love that to him.
I did not say that to him, but I was thinking in my head of like, you look exhausted, man.
Yeah, because you tell somebody they look like they need sleep.
I'm not telling Dan Lanning
that. Them they look like crap.
What's the matter with the bags under your eyes, coach? Huh? What's going on there? Nice to meet you, by the way. I'm not dropping that line.
I went to a get-together with family, and somebody, I walked in, and I just had my regular face, and they go, God, you look tired. And I was like,
thank you. I am.
Appreciate that. I look like crap. Just say it.
Just right out the gate. Thank you for wearing your emotions on your sleeve. I appreciate that.
So we'll get to some college football stuff coming up, but let's step into Cafe Day Dirt and Spray kickoff hour two here.
What are the specials today?
Special today... Stack O pancakes with sausage links.
Ooh, okay. Now I'm in. I'm not a big pancake guy.
Three hearty pancakes melted butter and syrup?
I'm not saying pancakes are bad. I'm just saying when I'm at a breakfast place, it's not in my top five of things I'm going to order. I'm not 12. No offense to pancake people out there, but Swag knows I'm right.
Well, French toast better, yes. Is a waffle a little better? Yes.
I'm just saying, proved my point. That's even in the breaded category alone. Yeah. It's already in last place in its own silo. Now I add an omelet in there, maybe just a basic breakfast of some scrambled eggs, some toast, and some bacon, and some sausage. I'd rather have that.
I feel like at times pancakes are just filler.
Yes, thank you.
What do you mean at times? They are filler.
Yes,
you just eat
they're
pancakes,
massive.
You get filled.
It's a lot of your hands get sticky with the syrup on the fork. I'm out. I'm out on pancakes.
Do you not know how to eat a pancake?
It's going to get sticky. It's going to happen. Mark my words.
I feel like your fingers
When was
the
last
the
time
fork?
You ate a pancake and you didn't get any sticky on those fingers?
The last time I ate a pancake.
I'm not buying it. You're lying.
Okay. All right. I do love the smell of a pancake,
The
though.
Smell of a pancake is solid.
It's elite.
I'll get that meal just because there's sausage links involved, and I like sausage links.
Comes with four sausage links. Stack O pancakes is three hearty-sized pancakes with four sausage links.
You would have given me a bowl of fruit, I would have walked out.
No. I gave you oatmeal last week. You got really upset by that.
Oh, yeah. I want an actual breakfast, man. Give me real food.
Let's start with last night's festivities.
Fly ball! Blasted! Way back!
Aaron Goldsmith on the call, Mariners Television. The Mariners get the 8-0 dub over the Reds. This was interesting because a lot of people were happy the Mariners won. They're now in first place by a half game over the Texas Rangers.
The 51-50 Seattle Mariners.
But boy, Dan Wilson not doing himself a lot of favors. George Kirby was awesome in this game. Only a couple hits, a shutout roll, and he was at 80 pitches. Dan Wilson yanked and went the reliever when their best reliever's been hurt. So they won. They won
Why?
In comfortable fashion. But people
Why?
Are like, his management of pitching is terrible.
Why, Dan Wilson?
I don't know.
You fired your last guy and brought in Dan Wilson, and this hasn't gotten any better. Let him go. He's at 80 pitches. His arm's not going to fall off. Good for Raleigh for hitting a home run. The only notable thing from the game last night for me was at one point, a Mariner, I don't know who it was, but somebody hit a ground ball up the middle, and one of the Reds infielders ran into the umpire and couldn't field it, and it allowed runners to keep running, and the Reds pitcher who...
I think that was right. That allowed the bases to get loaded.
And then Cal Raleigh hit the home run. You're like, dude, are you kidding me? And he probably would have gotten out of the inning, and the pitcher just yelled at the umpire and called him a fat ass. It's like, move your fat ass and get out of the way.
Well, Julio had to get pulled from this game because there was an errant throw that was going down to first that hit him in the backside.
Ooh, that's not good.
Raleigh had 5 RBIs. He is only hitting .163, but a lot of Mariner fans are super excited about. Maybe this is the turnaround. Maybe this is what he needed to see the ball leave the yard.
Seattle now in first place by a half game.
I already said that.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Double-digit home runs, by the way.
I know. The cafe is a little loud. Sometimes you can't hear the conversations happening. These people don't shut up back here.
I know.
Did you hear Newman
die? I'm sitting right next to the kitchen door.
Yeah, exactly. Let's continue on Major League Baseball.
1-2. Vargas keeps this one fair down the left field line. Mydroth, he will score. Murakami will be held at third. A new career high. RBI number 61 for Miguel Vargas gives the White Sox a 6-3 lead.
Yeah, there is White Sox television. You might be wondering, why are we playing a White Sox clip?
I would love to know the answer.
It's a great question. The White Sox are in first place. They're
they
ahead
are.
Of the Guardians by a game. They're 53-46. When's the last time they won over 60 games in a season? I feel like it hasn't
been a
happened.
Minute.
It's been a while for the old White Sox.
And I just learned who Miguel Vargas was at the All-Star game.
Hey, that guy plays for Chicago?
He does. He's a third baseman.
Hit the only home run of the game.
The only guy
he didn't
I know
have
is...
a home run.
Huh?
The All-Star game.
No, the All-Star game.
Oh, the All-Star game. Yeah,
the All-Star game.
You worried me there a little bit.
No, now things are getting contentious.
No, he got 2 RBIs.
Hey, you know what? In your face, last time they won over 60 games? Last year they won 60. Well, not over.
That's not over.
But they won 61 in 2023.
How about over
70? So double
70.
In your face.
How about over 70?
2022, they were 81 and 81.
About that.
That's not that long ago, actually.
I mean,
they
seasons.
Won 93 games in 2021, 5 years ago. They won 93 games. Who would have thunk it?
I thought it was worth playing.
Good for the White Sox.
I'm giving the White Sox a shout-out. They got a sick logo, but they've been largely irrelevant
my
whole life.
They got a terrible owner, and they shouldn't exist. Move them out of Chicago.
I do agree with that.
Where LeBron plays will affect the schedule, so I would like him to make his announcement already so we can finish the schedule because, as you might imagine, the teams are calling us, the networks are calling us, and everybody wants to lock in the schedule. But it will influence how we set the schedule, we set opening week, Christmas Day, etc. So I need him to make a decision, but the direct answer is I have no inside information.
Order up.
Really funny, Adam Silver. I need LeBron to make my schedule. He's going to be 42 in December.
It's almost over, Adam. You better figure out what you're going to do when he's gone because that runway's coming to an end sooner than it is later, man.
Help us with our situation and stop caring about LeBron's decision.
How about we get an arena deal done so the team doesn't move town? How about that, huh? Why don't you call Burt Cold and tell him to stop being an anonymous source in articles?
God, how
and
many let's city figure councils this thing out. Talk publicly, dude. I'm so tired of a new quote.
It is hilarious to think about, and I asked this question yesterday off the air. How many nationally televised games do the Cavs get without LeBron next year? Mm-hmm. And how many do they get with LeBron next year?
So I'm not going to give you a guess on how many they get without him. What I would say is if the Cavs get LeBron, I think there's at least 8 more nationally televised games.
Opening night, guaranteed.
Opening night.
Christmas Day,
they get
guaranteed.
Christmas Day.
Without a doubt.
They probably get MLK Day, one of the national games there.
I mean, I know they do basketball all day, but...
What?
I viewed that day a little bit differently. Do people sit around on MLK Day and watch basketball all day?
I don't know. They got national games all day.
I know that they do, yeah. I know that they do.
I just think they're going to get more.
They absolutely will.
The ABC Saturday games.
I would be willing to
get more of those primetime games rather than the Wednesday ESPN 4 o'clock game.
I'd set the over-under almost at like 16.5 with LeBron.
I don't know what the
it's
max.
It's going to be like a quarter of their schedule will be on nationally televised games.
Yeah. So Silver waiting on LeBron's decision to make the schedule.
Order up!
Don't have audio on this because nobody cared enough to talk about it.
What?
Matisse Thybulle is a Laker.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
The sexiest Blazer alive is officially our enemy.
He signed a one-year,
$3.3 million deal. I did love the reaction to this. And look, I...
How will we ever rebuild? Will we survive?
A lot of people made a good point. A fair point, I would say, of like, wait... I have two opinions on this.
Okay.
I did see the reaction of like, wait, it was only 3.3 to keep him, and I thought, why would it be more than that?
It shouldn't be more than
what
that.
What did he play in like the last two seasons for the Blazers in total games?
I believe it was 45.
He was hurt the first half of the season.
That's his career in a nutshell as a Blazer. He was hurt.
Dude, Matisse Thybulle sucks.
He's averaged 4 points a game.
He has been in Portland for 4 seasons. So what's 4? Well, I guess one of those trades. So 3 full seasons.
So 3 full seasons at 82 games.
Is what?
Is 246 possible games.
He's played 110.
All right.
And 3 full seasons. He came over at the deadline in the trade. Was he cut or did we trade for him? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
We picked him up. He played 22 games at the end of 22-23. Then played 65, then played 15, then played 30. His highest point per game average was 7.5 points per game, and he is a horrible shooter.
What were his percentages?
Because
I was told he's a 3-and-D guy.
I mean, the volume are so small.
Give me the volume. He
averaged 3 attempts a game.
And he shot?
He shot 39% last year.
3 attempts.
But come on, man. We all have eyes.
Very Portland reaction by us a lot yesterday of just like, what? Like,
there is never.
You had all your hopes and your eggs in the Matisse Thybulle basket, dude?
There is not a person alive in this fan base that ever thought to themselves when Matisse Thybulle shot the ball, yes. Never. He was the Al-Farouq Aminu. Like, what are you? And occasionally they go in and you say, oh, all right, that's a good positive outcome. There is not a person alive that thought to themselves as he let a wide open three fly because nobody guarded him. Yes, Matisse is shooting.
Order up!
Yesterday we got some media news. We got more media news this morning, but we got media news yesterday, and it all stems from this a couple months back.
Wake up this morning. Are you feeling okay? You look at AJ Brown, which is this number one wide receiver who got one target all night, and then you got CeeDee Lamb. But that's the
when was the one
Shrakes,
target?
That's the target.
But
though.
I'm saying
when
like,
was the one?
I'm
target?
Saying you could
one
have it both ways.
54 seconds left in the game on 2nd and 11. It was the one target. He runs the out route.
You wake up this
the
morning saying AJ Brown has had a better day than CeeDee Lamb.
Wait, but no, you know what you wake up saying? No, AJ Brown's team is 1-0.
Of course,
right? Like,
I mean,
like
yes,
that's what
I get.
But the thing is this though, and. We shouldn't do this on TV. And
I'm gonna do
so
it.
I apologize if people think this is rude. That's the non-player.
Oh, stop. That's no. That CeeDee Lamb is
no offense, but
I'm not saying
I'm not looking at fantasy football.
Peter.
Ryan, I'm not don't belittle me like that. I could come in and say as 3X players are saying one thing and give an alternative perspective that maybe CeeDee Lamb did play well and
Peter, what I need for you to do, Peter. What I need for you to do is not get mad and let me finish for one.
Okay.
Peter.
It wasn't about you. It was
going to
be about me.
Peter.
Okay. As a player, I can't speak for CeeDee Lamb. I'm speaking for
Ryan Clark fired by ESPN. They're doing layoffs right now. They source out McAfee's show. They're going to pay the McAfee company $60 million. Everything's McAfee's getting $60 million directly to himself.
No.
He's paying out everybody on his staff.
Yes.
But to do that financially, they've made some cuts. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Good morning, football.
Gone.
Good night. Good morning, good night.
Some people would say that happened a couple of years ago when Kay Adams left the show.
Certainly.
Good Morning Football had a hell of a
run. I
loved
that show.
And the newest iteration, we would still have on from time to time in the studio, watch it. We can't hear it because we're just watching it in the background.
I used to watch it, though, before I'd come into the studio.
Yeah, before you come in to check it out, see what's going on.
Ryan Clark fired. Sources are saying it stems from that, being condescending to Peter Schrager. That was a very offensive thing to do on live television.
Ryan Clark's had to make multiple public apologies.
He's just – I've liked Ryan Clark.
Yeah.
I also think he's kind of become a caricature of himself in a way. Like, he feels like he has to perform of as himself.
You get filled
just,
with that media ego, and yeah, you don't really know how to rein it in.
He's got pressed on his jacket, and I'm just like, you just give the takes. You yeah. don't, you know. You
Not everything has to be the deepest, most philosophical thing you've ever thought of before. It's okay.
Now, I would note, Ryan Clark, he'll be okay. His podcast does really well.
Yes.
Sad news this morning, found out. Carl Ravage has been let go in these layoffs. Tom Pelissero as well. Feel bad for Tom. I like Tom Pelissero.
Yeah.
Carl Ravage has been at ESPN for 33 years.
He was on the call of the Phillies-Dodgers game last night.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Like, when you think of ESPN baseball,
he's one of the names.
He is baseball tonight.
He's baseball tonight. Da, 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 da.
I just, aren't there certain people, like, this would be like, you know, media companies go through layoff periods.
Mm-hmm. Very regular.
This would be like coming in and finding out Swag has been let go, and I'm like, yeah.
he's been here
six
forever.
6 years away from being done.
right.
What? Just let him ride it out.
How old is Carl Ravage?
I don't know.
If
but
he's been there for
years.
33 years, he's got to be in his 60s.
It's a hell of a run by Carl Ravage.
He's 61 years old. Like, you're almost there. You're almost to retirement. That one stinks, right?
They
Ryan
also,
Clark, whatever. He's still got his podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ravage will pick something up. Like, he's a big enough media name. He'll be fine. But it's just the point of being there for that long and being kind of the voice of ESPN baseball for many decades.
Yeah. They also, by the way, fired him during NFL Live. He was on the show, and during a break, they told him he was being laid off. And they said, do you want to finish out? And he goes, nope, see you later.
Peace out.
It was really weird seeing the news that he had gotten fired and then seeing later in the day, like, SportsCenter putting out clips of, like, here's Ryan Clark's take on the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. I was like, I don't know about that. And by the way, the Peter Schrager, like, you should be fired for saying that. And we said that at the time. That was ridiculous. If you don't have a stronger argument than that, you shouldn't be on a desk debating football.
Did I not give this to Swag? I'm looking for a cut I had.
Oh, did we miss one?
Yeah, here we go.
Order up. A slam dunk, choke slam, 9 feet in the air.
9 feet
and
in the air.
With Dominic Mysterio, and alley-oop to the table. Didn't even take his sunglasses off, Cole.
What are we doing here?
Saturday Night Wrestling.
What are we doing here?
Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns on the WWE.
They were in the ring?
Well, Kat did some choke slams.
Okay.
Which got to be the skinniest looking wrestler to choke slam somebody in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
And then Brunson came out, Roman Reigns, and they traded titles. So Roman Reigns is holding up the Lario, and he's holding the belt.
You could probably throw him around like a rag doll. He's tiny.
See, that's different than like creating Brady drama. That's like a one-off appearance.
A one-off appearance where you're showing up to be celebrated for your championship, I view completely differently.
So do I.
Than having a weeks-long build-up. In fake promotional videos of you slapping another grown man in order to get people to watch your SummerSlam event.
Kat's not a goat. Brunson, not a goat. So, a lot different, I think, personally.
Yes.
Order up!
Yeah, well, the first thing that pops in my head is opportunity. That's going to give opportunity for somebody out there to not fill Nick Amari's void, but be serviceable and show what you can do. And a lot of times, you mentioned it, man, it could be something real simple. And they're like, all right, he's already in good shape. He's been to all of our stuff. Let's just make sure that he's able to get through a camp unscathed. It's not like he's going to get lots of reps during the preseason games. It's going to be more joint practices where he's going to get his reps there. I'm hoping it's just being really, really cautious when it comes to Nick and Mawar. As far as McIntosh,
That's Michael Bumpus of 710 Seattle Sports. Yesterday, a little bit of a surprising news for Seahawks fans. Nick Imenworry, their stud second-year player who was a great rookie, got a little banged up last year, but when he played, he was excellent.
Yeah.
He was put on the PUP list. Now, an important note on this.
What does it mean in the offseason? When can you take him off?
So the Seahawks can take Imenworry off the PUP list at any time during training camp, but he would need to miss the first four games of the season if he remains on the PUP list after the team cuts down its roster before week one.
Got it.
But there are a lot of people feeling encouraged that this is just camp stuff. He's a little banged up.
Take it easy in camp. We'll see you towards the end of it, probably.
I believe he said something like, I'm feeling okay. It's just we're being precautious here. And,
yeah. I saw this yesterday, and there was a bit of a, did something new happen? Is this a lingering injury?
It was surprising to many.
It was. And then everything I read on it seemed to think that it was not a massive deal. It's also the middle of July. Well, I guess we're nearing the end of July. And I get the camps are opening this week, but we're still a ways away from the start of the NFL season. If you got to miss him for a game or two at the start of the year, it's not the end of the world for Seattle. You certainly like to have him in the lineup. But not quite time to panic yet. If he's still at that point to your comment on the missing the first four games of the season, season when you're cutting down the roster, then it becomes a different story and a little alarming of like, all right, now it's a month you're without him, and then could it linger after that? But for now, I would say no need to worry quite yet.
He missed three games in September last year. This is an ankle-related injury, by the way. But Nikki Mwiri put on the pup list for the Seahawks. Last one here in Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
Order up!
And who doesn't love a good college football rivalry? I love it even more when the coaches lean in. Here was a coach from SEC Media Day talking about his border war rivalry.
It's very important for the region. It's very important for us to continue to make investments in the sport. I think anytime you're continually asking fans to donate, you better have something that causes them to invoke that emotion. And when you talk about the University of Kansas, you know, what's the best thing that comes out of the state of Kansas? I-70, okay? All right? And what do you call a good-looking girl in Kansas? A tourist, okay? So just so we're on the same page, you know, it's important that you have rivalries, and it's important that you play those. And, and our guys understand that's a big-time game for us.
Yep. That was Eli Drinkwitz on the rivalry between Missouri and Kansas. What do you call a pretty girl in the state of Kansas? A tourist? You kind of have to like Eli Drinkwitz, I
hold
think,
on.
For those comments.
Hold on, hold on. Challenge flag getting thrown here. First off, the tourist comment, hilarious. I love good banter and a rivalry.
So is the freeway.
That I will be, that I will condone. That I will allow into the chat. Well done, Eli Drinkwitz.
Come on.
Simultaneously, he argued yesterday that the only reason the Big Ten has won three straight national championships is because the three national champion teams didn't play somebody hard in non-conference.
I also heard that.
When in reality, do you know who he's played in the last 3 years in non-conference?
I just wanted
their biggest game is Kansas. Last year it was Kansas, and the year before it was Boston College. Let's not act like you're scheduling Michigan out here, okay?
Order up!
I just wanted to play a funny cut from Eli Drinkwitz. You had
no,
to do the
no
takes.
Pro Eli Drinkwitz okay. takes will All be right. allowed on this show.
All right.
Over my dead body.
Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at the 7 a.m. hour. Let's stick with that theme that we ended on. SEC Media Days, quite a bit to take away. We'll go to that coming up next, hour two on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We've got SEC Media Day here. We'll have Big Ten Media Day next week. Excited for that one. College football coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that.
Ding.
Ding. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Ding.
I want to remind you guys, too, Binary.
Hello! Hello!
They were cacaing this morning when I left, man.
Were they? Were
yeah,
they
we had some
walking?
Hey yo's going on when I got in the car.
I'm walking out in the neighborhood.
Those damn birds, dude. They're so loud. They cacaw at sunset, and they're cacaing when I leave. It's just like, hey yo! All day.
It does not stop.
You know what else doesn't stop? Binary what? Brewing and The Fan teaming
what?
Up for the only fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan. Who would you want to taste at The Fan? With Ooh. Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA, go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only fan. So good. Only The Fan at Binary Brewing can pull it off.
Give me a cup of Patrick Harris.
Swagalicious.
Like a shot of whiskey in the morning. Woo! Wake you up. Put a little hair on your chest.
I'm putting a poll question up now at Dirt and Sprague. We've got a Tom Brady-related poll question up. We will get... Look, I am kind of already tired of talking about how our politicians hate Tom Dundon and Tom Dundon doesn't answer their phone calls.
You mean nothing new has been added to the story other than more anonymous quotes, which are exactly
more anonymous sources.
The same anonymous quotes that we got a day ago that they're pissed off about the deal. They thought they had a deal in March. They're upset they don't have a better deal. We're not thinking about leaving, but we will contemplate leaving. If you make us think about leaving, we'll do the leaving. Now we might rip up this entire thing and make you start from scratch.
The lead city council member is coming out and he's like, you know what? If you don't want to be here, we don't need him. And I'm like, shut up.
Shut your mouth.
All of you, shut up. At least the team's being anonymous. You guys are putting your names on it.
Yes, you are. None of you matter in this. You know who matter? The fans. And we're the ones who are suffering.
You asking.
Thanks, Jody, for not selling to Phil Knight.
Maybe.
Really cool move, Jodes.
Maybe. maybe Portland would be better off. You are out of your mind.
You're an idiot if you say that. It's one of the dumbest things that anybody could utter in this city.
I don't care if they're not answering a text message. You don't say this some of the stuff publicly. I just don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Poll question is up. Did any Blazer fans watch Matisse Thybulle shoot a three and think, yes?
There's not one.
You can vote.
There's no way, dude.
Yes, certainly. Well, there'll be yeses.
Maybe Danny might be the only one. Outside of him, there's nobody else that thought yes, unless you're in Matisse Thybulle's family. Or you're like his agent. You can't be associated with him in any way. There's no run-of-the-mill fan that ever got Did you ever get excited when Al-Farouq Aminu took a three?
No.
No.
I got nervous when he dribbled.
We usually yell, don't pass the ball. Every time he touched it, pass it.
Yeah.
We went to him in the playoff series. I want to go up and pull up his game logs.
He did an interview on a pod. I don't know what pod it was, but he basically did an interview, and he admitted, and I thought this was like cool, to be honest, but also like a little like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, I got paid. Thought I'd be really good, and then I got paid, and I was like, just cool being what I was.
Matisse Thybulle admitted that?
No, Al-Farouq.
Oh, Al-Farouq Aminu, yeah.
I was like, yeah, it kind of matches.
Dude, he attempted 14 shots in the San Antonio series.
Total?
Total in five games. He played 21-10s. He only didn't play in one of the games.
This is too much on Matisse.
21-10, 6-15. Of the 14 attempts, he made two of them.
Oof.
He took 11 threes. You know how many he made?
Zero.
One.
One for 11.
He shot 9.1% from three in the first round of the NBA playoffs. We were desperate for somebody to score the ball. We put him in the game. San Antonio said, shoot it anytime you touch it, and he couldn't make one.
Yeah, we need a 3-and-D guy, though. I'll tell you that much right now. Let's pivot into college football because this is entirely too much Matisse Thybulle conversation.
Happier times ahead.
You know, there's a lot going on at SEC Media Day. I always love media days. Beaver fan was like, you know, you don't need media day. And I'm like, actually, you kind of do.
I love it, yeah.
Because you get quotes and you get honest opinion from some of these guys, and it's just a time to let your coaches speak their opinion on things going on in college football. Once upon a time, this was uttered.
Yeah, Will Stein will help you shine.
And it seems to be the case, according to one, Will Stein. Will Stein at SEC Media Day was asked, why is it going to be different from Kentucky? Why is Kentucky going to be good now? And this was Will Stein's answer. This is the you have a shortened one, Swag, or you got the full?
No, this is the full thing.
I answer.
Didn't want to do the viral thing. This is his
you should have done
full explanation. It already went viral.
Okay, here is Will Stein's answer.
Why do you think you can win big here?
This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest. I think it's me. I think I know what it takes. I've seen it at the highest levels. I know what it takes to recruit at this level. And you just got to believe, man. You just got to put the ball down and play. There's not really else to be said. Is it going to happen overnight? I don't know. I really don't. If I had a crystal ball, everybody in this room would be really, really rich right now. I don't. And so the best determination of if what you're doing is working is putting the ball down and playing football. And so there's going to be bumps in the road. I mentioned it in the speech. Like, I'm prepared for tough moments and tough times. I've succumbed to that in our process, right? I already do self-talk myself about, all right, how can I stay neutral? When stuff's bad, I can stay as neutral as possible and be very diplomatic in my approach. That's why. I mean, growing up a fan is great. It is one thing, but I know the players that we can get here. I know that we can recruit north, south, and east. People come to Lexington and love it. I mean, the longer I live there, the longer I'm like, wow, this place is incredible. It's got everything that you want. Great food, great nightlife, great community, great university. It's safe. You got Big Blue Nation. It takes some TLC, and you got to go attack. You can't sit back and wait. That's one thing I refuse to do at Kentucky is the wait. And so I'm really excited about our administration, the direction that it's going. Again, I said I was so fired up that Mitch brought me here. I'm also excited about what the future holds. And so that's why I'm excited. That's why I believe. Or else I wouldn't have taken the job. I would have stayed out at Oregon and Coach Dante and stayed out there.
Well, and so the answer, that part of that answer that's gone super viral to Swag's point is, why is it going to be, why is this a big contender? Why can this program win big? Me. that obviously circulated, and it was like, look at the balls on Will Stein.
Big balls on Willie.
I mean, to Swag's point, you listen to the actual answer. He's 100% right. Any coach taking these jobs, it is because of them, because they think they can institute the culture, the recruiting, the talent, the staff. Like, it is because of him. But to Swag's point again, the part that got cut was...
It's good either way, man.
Right after me.
This is perfect. If I'm a Kentucky fan, you know how I'm feeling right now? I am thrilled. I am over the moon that my coach showed up at SEC Media Day, put his balls on the table, and gave a quote that became the most noteworthy thing from the opening day of SEC Media Days. Was there anything more noteworthy than this yesterday?
I do, yeah.
Maybe the conference as a whole stuff?
The Sankey comment.
That's fine, absolutely. But I'm talking from a team-specific angle. Like, you had some funny clips from
Drinkwitz
other guys.
Say basically the Big Ten's a bunch of cowards.
This was the
not.
Most, I thought, the most viral thing of yesterday. Of, like, the coach of Kentucky saying we're going to win because of me. And let me quickly remind you. Now, I'm not saying this is how it's going to play out. I have no clue how Will Stein's going to do at Kentucky. I thought he was a solid offensive coordinator, had some weaknesses. We'll see how he can recruit. He's off to a pretty good start at Kentucky.
Yeah.
We all mocked a coach.
We did.
At a traditionally basketball school who said, Google me, I win.
We did.
I'm here to beat Michigan. I'm here to beat Ohio State. And it happened at Big Ten Media Days.
He said they suck at a basketball
game. Yes.
Ohio State
they
sucks.
And the whole crowd's like, who's this guy? This is awesome. Do you know you coach in Indiana?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Will Stein's going to win a national title in 2 years, nor is that the expectation.
Right.
But having confidence is a part of it, man. Like, Cignetti's talked a lot about that. And it's some of the more fascinating interview stuff that I've heard from him of. He's a guy everywhere he's been as a head coach that he has won. Mm-hmm. And he showed up in Indiana. And what is the expectation at Indiana? It's to lose. You're Indiana. If you go 5-7, that's a great year for the Hoosiers. And he said rooting that out of the culture was one of the hardest things he had to do when he got there, and instilling a confidence of guys. Mm-hmm. The history doesn't matter. We can win. In modern college football, we have learned if you have resources, if you put together a good staff, you can retain your players, and you have fan support. Anything is possible in the modern world. And so if you're at Kentucky, why not have the thought, we can do this? We have the boosters. We have the money. They had a decent offseason of adding guys in the portal. And there's a little bit of optimism and coming out with some confidence on day one of SEC Media Days. Like, look, if he loses, people will hang this over his head. That's fine. He's going to get fired either way if they lose. Who cares if there's a grandiose take on day one of SEC Media Day? If I'm a Kentucky fan, I was thrilled hearing that yesterday.
I ask you this. We got to go. We're against the clock here a little bit. And I got other SEC media I want to play. I don't know what to make of him either as a head coach. He seems to be very confident in himself, which you need to be if you're going to take that job.
Yes.
Is this about just his roots in the region and the conference, or is there a part of you that sits here and goes, because he said at the end there, I could have coached Dante for one more year.
Yeah,
the numbers
would have
been stellar, and I might have been able to get literally any job in the country if Oregon gets to a semifinal or better, right? I know he went to Louisville and all that, but I couldn't help but wonder that yesterday. And again, if Kentucky starts winning, which I actually think they will, they could be backed. I think Kentucky football could
there's money for the basketball
something.
Program. If that exists, there's got to be money for your football
be money
program.
For football. They go right into the fire. They get
their schedule's pretty tough this year.
I'm not
Alabama and A&M in weeks 2 and 3.
I'm not expecting them to be amazing this year, but the basketball part, you're right on Indiana. You know who's kind of stumbling a little bit and they're losing confidence in by the day? Mark Pope. You know who's underwhelmed for a while? Kentucky basketball.
Maybe we pivot.
Maybe they do pivot. I think you saw it with Stoops the 1 year they had, 8 or 9 wins?
He had some okay years in Kentucky, yeah.
He was making a ton of money. It was remember he said didn't he have a line when Calipari was still there of we're a football school now?
Yeah, Calipari's no.
No.
He had the best job in football because he was getting $10 million a year and the only expectation was to win seven or eight games.
Yes.
And they were paying him one of the top 10 salaries in the entire sport.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal gig. I don't know what to expect from Will Stein. I think he's a good offensive mind. I think he's already shown he was not known as the best recruiter in his time at Oregon. He was more of an X's and O's guy, but I think he's shown he has the ability to do that.
Yeah, you get
he learned from Lanning. Right,
fine.
You get a staff, you got money involved. Like that, all of that stuff plays into recruiting.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's part of me who, as long as it doesn't come over the top as cocky, and I didn't read that answer, and that's why Swag played the entire thing. It didn't seem cocky.
No.
It just seemed confident.
Very reasonable.
And I want my people to be confident in their own abilities that they can go do
it. He knew it sounded arrogant,
yes.
But he honestly believed it and then went about explaining yeah, the reason why they came and hired me is to be the difference.
Right. There's a bit of a Dillingham thing here to your question on why Kentucky. I mean, he's from the area. He grew up going to Kentucky games.
No, I get
games,
that. I just, the job level is all I'm asking. Yeah. If coaching Dante, they would have had success. He would have been good.
I think SEC resources certainly help, and knowing you're going to have that in your back pocket for years to come. You're not trying to win in the MAC. You at least have SEC money coming in.
Poll question is up. Can you tell how good a college football program is in based on the coach's tan? Yes or no? Ooh.
That's one of the best poll questions we've ever
had. That's pretty solid right there.
You know, sometimes my brain works right. And that's one I was like, dude, Venables is feeling Zaddy levels good about his team. Will Stein came in, bright white forehead. This guy's grinding. He's not grinding on the boat.
They're talking to the new Auburn coach, Golish, there from South
not
Florida.
Not a big tan there.
No, he's been in.
We're program building, boys.
I'm at Auburn. I got 2 years to win 9 games. If I don't, I'm going to get fired.
You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. More college football next on The Fan.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We might carry some college football over to the third hour because I don't think we're going to get to everything. We will talk about city funding, and
we need to talk about that again today.
The Blazers, do they need to piss off? Does Tom Dundon need to come to the table and start talking now?
Are there any architects out there who want to design a stadium pro bono? Because the city and the team don't want to pay for it. So if you are an architect and you're listening right now, please give us your services. I did enjoy this one. We got a late text in that came in from the opening segment where we debated Pepsi versus Coke.
Oh,
I mean, a debate as old as time.
I'd say we just pointed out one's dominant.
This one's from Brian in Salem. He said, I've been listening since the Danforth days. Dot, dot, dot. That's
you're
a long time.
Danforth, P1?
If you're going back that far, you've been going back a long ways. Yeah. But I strongly lean Diet Pepsi over Coke. I'm not mad when they only have Coke. I will drink it, but I don't choose it over Pepsi. I feel very called out like a soy boy medium pizza guy now.
First of all, welcome to the Soy Boy Medium Pizza Club, Brian.
Welcome to the criticism of your tastes.
Yeah, that's another thing. Welcome to the life of nobody agreeing with your takes.
Our producer doesn't think strawberries taste good.
Because he didn't like it when he was three. You know what I'd say to my child if they didn't like something when they were three? I'd
try it again.
Shut up and eat it.
Try it again.
Just try it again.
Eat it again.
Your taste buds change. Every cell in your body changes every 7 years. You literally have been like four different human beings in your life, and you're like, no, it tasted bad when I was three. I'm out on strawberries.
God, I'm in that phase right now. I think the only thing I could get that kid to eat consistently is macaroni and cheese. That's the only thing that has a 1,000 batting average. Everything else, hit and miss.
Welcome to that dad life. Like, wait till you have two of them.
Every other day, and I'm like, you haven't eaten a dinner in 2 days. We're doing mac and cheese again tonight.
Because I haven't eaten a dinner.
I mean, I tried. It's a plate full of food in front of him. Eat your food. It's right there.
Does he still get dessert?
He did this weekend.
Stop giving him dessert.
That wasn't my fault. Hold we were family festivities.
Yeah, family's always
what are you going to do, you know?
It does get better because Pax went through that stage.
I'm like, dude, I made chicken tenders and fries last night. Yeah. Who doesn't like chicken tenders and fries? I gave him a little
Teddy ball game.
Little of ranch to dip it into, and he's just dipping the fry into the ranch and sucking the ranch off of the fry. I'm like, dude, no, it's not. That's not the meal. It's the fry's not the spoon. The ranch is not the dinner. It's a dip. You dip the fry.
You got to stop sucking and start eating, buddy.
Yes, thank you.
What are we doing here?
An early lesson to learn in life.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Eat the fry.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I feel for you, though.
I digress.
Early results of the poll question right now. Did any Blazer fan watch Matisse Thybulle shoot a three and think, yes?
Has anybody voted yes? Tell me no.
What do you think?
No. It should be a no because none of you are telling the truth if you voted yes.
Is there one?
It's got to be 100 to nothing.
I'm really bad at math. That's been well documented on this program.
Can we
the
do
Monster
the math?
Monster Energy price.
Yeah.
Yes has 4% of the vote.
How many votes do we have?
Let's see. Posted this about 25 or 30.
Early
that's
returns.
One.
That's one vote.
That's one vote.
There you go.
What is the matter with you? Matisse Thybulle, did you see that tweet? Are you active
that's
on social
a Husky
media?
Fan.
Why would even a Husky fan want to see him shoot?
To troll you. to troll you.
Like, dude, I would even have that with Dylan Brooks. And he had a better offensive year, but you don't get excited when Dylan Brooks takes a shot.
They voted yes and then went, bow down, bitch. That's exactly how it happened. All right? More SEC Media Day.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, Lane Kiffin was the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And then he voluntarily left Tennessee to go to Southern California. One season, see you later. Thank you very much. He came back, and he had golf balls and all kinds of random things thrown at him.
It was a crazy moment. The game had to be stopped, I want to say, for like 30 minutes in the fourth quarter, because it became evident they were going to win, and fans were throwing things on the field. And I'm pretty sure as he was walking off the field, he caught one of the golf balls and held it in his hand during the TV post-game interview.
And Josh Heupel at SEC Media Day yesterday was asked about Lane coming back with LSU, and if the city still feels the same way and is ready for Lane to make another return to Knoxville.
Certainly hope our fan base hasn't cooled off. So whether it's the grocery stores being fully stocked with mustard, or you know, our sports stores making sure that they got reinforcements on the golf balls, hopefully Knoxville's ready for his arrival.
A coach just openly saying, I hope people are ready to throw crap at
him. This was one of the, like, the Drinkwitz thing about fat girls, or, you know, he's a tourist and
hot
I-5.
Hot girls in Kansas, you know what they are? They're tourists.
Like, that was pretty, this I thought was the funniest comment of the day. Of like, let's not freak, we were the first ones to hate him.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, that's fine. We're the new flavor. We're the OG Lane Kiffin haters. That guy's, I can't wait till he leaves LSU for Alabama when they fire Kalen DeBoer in 2 years. And then you got three of the fan bases in the conference that hate that guy's guts.
Eli Drinkwitz talked about playing 8 versus 9 conference games yesterday.
When you're at the University of Missouri, if you say, hey, you just have to finish in the top 8 to have a chance to play in the playoffs, that's a win every day. And I'm all for that. I think that's awesome. 8 versus 9, honestly, I think I've been for the 9 game. I think if it was about players and about fans, I think it's a 9-game schedule for the SEC. If it's about coach preservation, which, hey, man, I get it, you know. But if we're going to go to 11 humans deciding on a committee which are the 11 best teams, and we stay at 8, we ain't getting in.
Nope.
Also, Pan the Big Ten said they're only good because they don't play any non-conference opponents.
He was asked why they've won 3 straight national championships, and he said because none of the 3 played a Power 4 opponent in non-conference, which is technically true, but also if you think that's the reason they won the national championship – buddy, you got some problems on your hands.
Is it not abundantly clear to you? Because I don't think I'm going to be able to get to the Sankey audio. Sankey,
we can carry that over the final.
We can carry that over.
I got a lot of thoughts on that.
All right, well, we can get to that.
As you could imagine.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is really like hard to tell. It's abundantly been clear. We're a day and a half into this thing. It is obviously stuck in their craw, the Big Ten dominating college football. You are seeing, it's like watching somebody that's been handed something their whole life not get handed something anymore and somebody else, and now they're just, and he's just like crying after crying.
Yeah.
No, they're not that great. This is why they're great and why we're not. Like, it's harder to be us. It's just like the biggest set of whiny little bees in a day and a half of media day is the Big Ten dominating college football.
It's broken their brains down there.
It's broken
them.
They
don't know how to process the information that they are no longer the top.
They can't just say, they give them their credit. They've been great. We're looking to stop it. They can't just say that. They have to go into an explanation
of why,
for why they are great and they're not winning the national championship.
It's because Indiana played Old Dominion in non-conference. That's why they won a national title last year, don't you know?
I mean,
that's the only reason. Their coach, their game planning, their X's and O's, big-time wins, hitting on a transfer portal quarterback. None of that had anything to do. It was because they played Old Dominion in Indiana State in non-conference. That's why they were good. The SEC's argument, which, by the way, some of it I will defend because I want to carry this over in some audio. Not all of it is wrong, but their argument used to be, We're battle tested. That makes us ready for the playoff.
Their conference
road
is so good.
We go through all these bumps and it prepares us for the biggest games, and that's why we win championships.
Yep.
And now the argument is it's too hard to get there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a minute. I thought you liked it hard. Now you want it soft?
Loaded third hour of the radio program. It is a
Mail Sack
Tuesday. So get the Mail Sack questions in. It's filling up at 503-864-6326. We'll get to the Blazers in the city fighting again. More anonymous sources, more quotes. That's not going to make anybody happy. Hour 3, more college football as well. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.